Memorial Care Health System, Excellence in Healthcare, presents Weekly Dose of Wellness. Here's your host, Deborah Howell.
Hello and welcome to the show. You're listening to Weekly Dose of Wellness brought to you by Memorial Care Health System. I'm Deborah Howell, and today's guest is Dr. Richard Reitherman. Richard Reitherman is the medical director of the Memorial Care Breast Center at Saddleback Memorial and Orange Coast Memorial, and a board member of the American Society of Breast Disease. He is well known for his clinical role in the early adaptation, promotion, and refinement of breast MRI, with more than 20 years of experience in breast imaging and intervention. His special clinical and research interests include improving screening for high-risk women less than 40 years of age, multimodality imaging correlation with large section histopathology, and implementation of standardized workflow algorithms for breast centers. Welcome to you, Dr. Reitherman. You sound like a busy man.
Good morning. I'm here.
Well, we have a lot to talk about today, so let's jump right in. How frequently should women get mammograms?
I think the mantra would be for a normal risk woman, starting at 40 every year, 12-month interval.
Okay. And there's been a little controversy about that, but you really can't go wrong if you do that, correct?
Correct. There is controversy, and probably not the place to get into it, but my recommendation is that.
Okay. Very good. So tell me about the screening methods at the Memorial Care Breast Center at Saddleback Memorial.
Well, there are three primary mechanisms or methodologies that we use for breast screening. And just to note the difference, screening is when a woman has no lumps or signs or symptoms of breast disease. That's the definition of a screening test.
Oh, I've already learned something. Wow, okay.
If they have lumps, we use a different algorithm or paradigm, even though we use the same mechanism or instrumentation. Okay. So the most standard tool is the X-ray screening mammogram, which has been around for a while. It's undergone multiple improvements with decreased dosage and increased resolution. And that is the primary mechanism where we screen normal risk women once a year starting at 40.
Mm-hmm.
The other modality we have for screening is ultrasound. And we have a whole breast ultrasound program, which is automated and interrogates or screens with ultrasound both breast volumes, just like a mammogram would. The difference between the two is one uses X-ray and the other uses sound waves, and the latter has no radiation. And the ultrasound is used primarily for women that have dense breasts, which we can come back to later.
Okay.
Third modality is breast MRI, magnetic resonance imaging.
Okay.
And that is used for high-risk women, that is those women with a significant family history, in addition to mammography. So in general, the high-risk woman would have a mammogram and an MRI every year.
Mm-hmm.
The normal risk woman would have a mammogram. And the woman in the intermediate risk would have a mammogram, and if she has dense breasts, would have an ultrasound in addition. So that's the complement of screening tests.
So you really don't get out of having the mammogram if you get the ultrasound in many cases.
Good pickup. The mammogram is the constant feature for each group.
Right. Okay. Because we, you know, as women, we sort of don't look forward to our mammograms, but we know that we need them.
I think that's true. Again, we screen all women. Most women will not get breast cancer. So most women have to go through those screening procedures with no benefit other than knowing they don't have breast cancer.
Right.
We have to screen everybody because other than those with a significant family history, we don't know who is going to develop breast cancer.
Right. Well, I noticed that you did say that we've made progress in terms of the dosage of radiology. I think that's what most people, you know, dislike. And you know, they are uncomfortable as well. But I think it's the radiology that most women fear. So maybe you could address that.
Sure. Well, being that it's a test that you have every year, it can be a little more concern than, say, a test you have once every so often. So the radiation is a little more concerning. The current radiation that's used with the current digital equipment is very low dose, and it's equivalent to like taking a plane trip cross-country at 35,000 feet, because we have radiation, X-radiation, coming from the sun all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not considered a risk in terms of increasing the risk of breast cancer.
That brings up another question. I've heard the plane analogy before. What about people who are on planes, women who are pilots and I'm not going to say stewardesses, I'm going to say flight attendants, are they at increased risk?
We're not aware of any studies that have been done to test that.
Okay. Well, that's all we can answer then until there are some tests. How do these three screening modalities work together to produce the best result for women?
Well, the screening mammogram, the X-ray mammogram, is excellent for women who have what we would call non-dense breast tissues. Some women on the mammogram have, essentially, it's all black. It's like a negative that you see of a photograph.
Mm-hmm.
Some women, on the other hand, have a totally white breast that has nothing to do with the texture, the size, or anything. You're just born with that texture.
Okay.
In general, the breast density decreases with age. So the lower breast density produces a higher sensitivity mammogram, meaning that we can detect cancer more easily in the woman with a not dense breast than we can with a dense breast. So in women with a dense breast, we want to add other modalities which mitigate the dense breast issue.
Mm-hmm.
For example, ultrasound would be the next one. No radiation, no risks really, in terms of radiation or compression. There's no compression.
Right.
And that test is not dependent on breast density. The sound waves are well suited to interrogate dense breast tissue.
Okay.
The MRI is the most expensive test, and so it's reserved for people that have a very high risk of having breast cancer.
Okay. Maybe you can describe the breast MRI a little bit more.
Sure. Breast MRI is essentially an angiogram where contrast substance is injected. And during the course of the examination and the accumulation of the images by the machine, tumors uptake blood flow, and that's how we detect them.
Mm-hmm.
The images are subtracted from each other, so whatever the woman's breast density or if she has augmentation or previous surgery, it's all essentially subtracted out, and so we get as perfect a picture as we can, any tumors that are in the breast.
Okay. Which leads me to my next question. What is the California Dense Breast Law all about?
As we just had discussed, breast density decreases the sensitivity of a mammogram.
Mm-hmm.
So the denser the woman's breast, the less sensitive a mammogram is, and therefore maybe her physician would suggest other procedures such as ultrasound or MRI.
Okay.
The dense breast law simply states that all women having a mammogram in California must receive written notice of whether their breasts are dense or not, and if they are dense, that it may decrease the sensitivity of mammography, and that they should consult their physician for other imaging modalities. So it's basically an informed consent so that the patient having the study actually has the information they need to make an informed decision.
Information is power. This is the government working for you, actually, right?
Surprise.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, when is genetic counseling recommended, doctor?
There are specific guidelines for genetic counseling. And if a patient has a certain history in their family above a certain threshold, then genetic counseling is recommended. The genetic counseling is not genetic testing.
Okay.
So it's a filter. If you meet certain criteria, you're referred to the genetic counselor. The genetic counselor takes a more exacting history of family history and personal history of tumors,
mm-hmm.
and then recommends blood testing if it needs to be performed. For example, a woman who's 40 years old, and she goes in for her first mammogram, and her mother was 40, mm-hmm. and she was diagnosed with breast cancer, would be referred to genetic counseling to see if she met criteria for genetic blood testing. Specifically, mm-hmm. we're talking about the infamous BRCA1 gene, BRCA2 gene.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so know your family history, very important. Do you have any other advice for women?
Well, I think knowing your family history is very important because it sets your risk. And we base all our imaging and complementary imaging, in addition to mammography, on risk. For example, if a woman has enough family history, we will start screening her with mammograms earlier than 40 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody that comes to our facility, be they screening or diagnostic patients, receives an assessment of family history. Then the radiologist translates that into whether the woman should have additional testing or genetic counseling. Okay. So we assess every woman who comes in.
That is great. Well, you know, it's been really a pleasure to have you on the show. I really, really enjoyed hearing about the three different screening methods. I wasn't aware, about the screening. Having no lumps is why you're there in the first place, and that's why you get what you get in terms of your mammogram, which we may dread, but we really do need, because it can lead us to some very, very important healthy information about our own bodies. Thank you so much, Dr. Reitheman, for taking the time to talk to us today about advances in breast screening methods and so much more. It's been a real pleasure to have you on the show.
You're welcome. Thank
you. I'm Deborah Howe. Join us again next time as we explore another weekly dose of wellness brought to you by Memorial Care Health System. Have a fantastic day.